Well, that worship continued on, unabated. And in the year 313, there was a merging of the streams. The early church fought off paganism right and left. Remember the Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven? That's where we're looking for Christ. We have no continuing city on earth. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Remember all those verses? What the New Testament church taught? But in the 4th century, paganism was injected by Constantine. And though the church fought for centuries to stave off that false worship, in 593, the Roman Catholic Church declared as dogma purgatory. Where did purgatory come from? It came from the ancient Eastern religions of the Canaanites and of their forefathers in Baal worship. Where is that from? That's from Satan. The whole concept of purgatory is that you can work your way to God. If you didn't do the right thing on earth, you get a second chance. That's what's wrong, and that's why we had books removed from our bookstore by a fellow named Gerzoni. Do you know that's his doctrine? He teaches you get a second chance. Did you know that's antithetically, diametrically opposed to Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter if he is on the best-selling Christian author list. He's not teaching truth. You should be careful. No matter who says they're Christian, to make sure what they're teaching lines up with the Bible. Well, from 593 to 1100, not much went on in the church until they started charging money for masses in 1100 AD. Historic fact, the Roman Catholic Church says, you pay us money, we'll offer a mass for you, for your sins to be done away with. Remember how Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but that which I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The popes today cannot say, silver and gold have I not, neither can they make people walk. Today, the gospel is being obscured by purgatory, money for masses. 1190 AD, they started selling indulgences. You didn't even need a mass. If you would do something good, you would get an indulgence to get you or a friend out of purgatory. In 1215, they started transubstantiation, which is the transmutation of plain bread and plain wine into the body and blood of Christ, which the Bible never propounded or taught as doctrine. In 1226, mere 11 years later, they started holding up the host after the transubstantiation, and they would say, we worship you, O God, the host of Mass. They still do that today. That's been going on for 766 years. In 1229, the Bible was officially put on the index by the Council of Toledo. Toledo, not Ohio, Toledo, Spain. And you could not read the Bible. It was against the church. Against the church's teaching to read the Bible? To keep people in darkness? That's why there's stained glass windows, and that's why all those things are carved into the ancient churches. And I've toured medieval cathedrals all over Europe, and you can see the gospel message as those churchmen were trying to give people the message because they couldn't read the Bible, so they tried to show it to them in stone. In the year 1545, the Council of Trent turns finally from the authority of God's Word to the authority of tradition. Tradition was made equal with the authority of the Bible, and justification by faith was 125 times condemned as damnable. And you know what the Bible says? Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You should have a big box around this in your Bible, but I want to remind you this, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not through masses, not through candles, not through the meritorious supply, the overage of the saints. Totally by faith in the grace of God only. That was declared damnable heresy in 1545 AD. That was reaffirmed in 1962. That was the first thing they took care of at the Vatican II. They said, we reaffirm the anathema upon those that say salvation does not come through the sacraments. The Church of John Paul II is the church that denies the Scriptures, that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. In the year 1854, they invented the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. That means that she was sinless when she was born. Then, in 1870, because people didn't like that, 16 years later, the church said, you don't like that? The Pope is infallible. Did you know that didn't happen until 1870? He didn't sit up in that chair ex cathedra And pontificate, that's become an adjective now, describe things, pontificate. He didn't do that until 1870. Do you see how this has grown? It should be alarming to you if you have any vestiges of trust in the Roman Church, the fact that what I believe, the Apostle Paul believed, because I believe what he wrote. What you believe, Jesus taught, because you read it. What 900 million Roman Catholics believe has been growing for 1,600 years. Purgatory came in 593, money for masses 1,100, indulgences 1,190, transubstantiation 1,215, adoration of the host 1,226, the Bible's off limits 1,229, justification by faith is damnable heresy in 1545, Mary was sinlessly conceived in 1854, the Pope is infallible in 1870. What happened to all the other popes? Why weren't they infallible? There's a lot of questions. And finally, most recently, in 1950, 6 years before I was born, the Roman Church discovered that Mary had been bodily assumed into heaven. Did you know that? I don't think she knew that. I don't think the apostles knew that. What does all this mean? It means, this is the last verse. Look at the book of Jude. Jude was the brother of Jesus Christ, the half-brother. And Jude was a marvelous, zealous, fervent follower of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jude says. Beloved, verse 3, when I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. What does that mean? It means in the first century, people were creeping in and defiling the simplicity of Christ. And I tell you, in 1993, they're still here, and they're still robbing people of the knowledge of the simplicity of Jesus Christ. What is that? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name, one Savior, one gospel, one book, no tradition, one blood shed for the sins of many, one blessed hope when we die, not of purgatory, but of heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote a verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. It says, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I want you to know that salvation is by grace. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is once and for all delivered to us. That no one is going to add to it. No one's going to enlarge upon it. No one's going to correct it. No one's going to give you a new revelation. It's established. And if someone tells you that Jesus Christ is off in the desert or in a tree or in a tortilla or his mother's appearing in Yugoslavia somewhere, don't believe him, but lovingly point him to the truth. Now unto you that are able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before your presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.